Blue Plaque Stories. Harry Selfridge. Lansdowne House, 9 Fitzmaurice Place. Read by Danny Houston.
My daughter Violet was married in a wedding gown, trimmed in lace that once belonged to Marie Antoinette. It's fair to say that we liked the fine things of life. I guess I must have learnt that young, not having one single fine thing when I was growing up in Chicago. I so wanted everyone to have beautiful things, to live life comfortably, to prosper. I wish my wife Rose could have seen this house that we live in London. Now, we moved here after the war, after dear Rose had passed away. There were grand rooms in a grand part of town. The fine things that you see are essential. You just need to find ways to pay for them. I always knew that it's easier to see a way through things when you're properly dressed. I insisted on clean shirts, 2 or 3 times a day. The shine on my top hat was legendary. Always a 3-piece suit, gloves, sparkling shoes. I suppose I looked like an English gentleman. The truth is, I looked more like a showman, a maverick American, but that's fine by me. To bring a bit of theater to the lives of everyday people. And one thing I always knew was that the customer's always right. If that's the cash raise you know now, well, you heard it here first from me. Treat your customer as a guest. When they come and when they go, whether or not they buy, in their turn, they will reward you for it. Whoever said build it and they will come, well, it was like that with me. I built a cathedral of commerce and changed shopping forever. We opened the store that still holds my name in March 1909. We had settled on a site which at the time was the dead end of Oxford Street, but it had a magic about it. Conveniently placed for the mansions of Portman Square, near enough to the fashionable St. John's Wood, and most important of all, it was ideally situated on the Central Line, which opened 6 years prior to capture 100,000 people a day who traveled between Shepherd's Bush and Bank. I wanted them to change the name of Bond Street Tube to Selfridge's. Perhaps they still might. It wasn't easy building my cathedral. So much demolition needs to be done. And the building's regulations were something else here in the UK. So very different from Chicago. They rejected my initial plans. We were allowed nothing higher than 80 feet. So we countered that by building the deepest basement, which was to play its part in the war as a bunker for the British and American intelligence. Investors and partners came and went, and more builders and architects buying more and more tons of steel, and we were set. My windows alone were spectacular. A work of art. Each a blank canvas, waiting to tell a story. Our shop windows were the first to be lit at night. People wondered whether it was a shop or a Greek temple. All this cost a lot of money, of course. And I would have only the best that money could buy. But all the dinners and the theaters and the chorus girls and the nightclubs and, of course, the baccarat. Well, I must admit, I used the store's income as something of a personal pocketbook. But then, it was all mine, really, wasn't it? I always would wear my 3-piece suit and top hat, even though it did get kind of shabby. This house was a far cry from where I ended my days, in a flat in Putney. Because money, even when you have lots and lots of it, does have a habit of running out. I was asked not to come back to the store when things got really bad. But I would board the number 22 bus to Oxford Street and look at my store from the other side of the road, remembering. A store should be like a song of which one never tires. Selfridge's was like that for me.